How's it going, everybody? My name's Greg Knox, and these are the worst date movies ever. I am joined by Tom Cannon on this show.
Hi, Greg.
So, just to let you know, if you have not done so already, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, on Spotify, on YouTube, and wherever you choose to listen to your podcasts. Now, I've brought Tom on the show. Normally I make my guests watch one very bad movie that might not be a very good date movie, but for Tom, I've actually made you watch three movies.
Oh, Greg, I don't know what I've done to you in a past life, but I feel like I've been part of a human centipede after going through this trilogy that you forced me into.
Yes, so as Tom's kind of given away there, so we are in fact talking about all three Human Centipede films. So this is the trilogy directed by Tom Six, of which, you know, we actually saw the first one at Fright Fest. It was actually the first film that I ever saw at Fright Fest.
What a way to start. Yes, that was the... I have fond memories of the first one because of that. Because we were there, I remember we were quite close to the front of the screening. And there was, Tom Six was there, the director. There was a slight buzz about the film because of the name and the description. But no one really knew much about it because this was its world premiere. And so, yes, it was very exciting to be in at Fright Fest amongst horror fans who really got into the film. And I remember it being a very fun atmosphere.
Yeah, it was great. It was basically the ideal sort of scenario to watch The Human Centipede. So basically, just to kind of just give you guys just a warning, before we go on, obviously we are talking about The Human Centipede 1, 2 and 3. So if you're likely to be offended by ass to mouth action, then you might want to turn off. Also, we're going to be talking about these films in fairly great detail, so they're going to be spoilers. So if you're likely to be put off by spoilers, if for some reason you've never seen any of these films before and you want to watch them, please do that and then come back, which obviously we want you to do. So like I said, all three of these films, they're all directed by Tom Six. They're all produced by his sister, which is quite interesting. And there's not really a lot more to say other than that. We've already kind of started talking about the first one. Yeah, I remember that sort of screening, the way we saw it. It was Fright Fest, you know, it was 2009. And this is kind of in the middle of torture porn, I would say. So this is right in the middle of that kind of movement in horror, I would say.
And yeah, I would put this at slightly different than the torture porn. I mean, there's a lot of elements of torture in this, but I somehow feel, at least with the first one, it's not done in the same vein as the other torture porn. And I'm thinking of things like Hostel here. It's not as nasty. And this is going to sound weird because it's the Human Centipede. But I don't know. I didn't find it, the first one, as nasty. It wasn't as vicious as some of the other films.
So, Tom, now for the benefit of those people who maybe have never seen The Human Centipede because they've been living under a rock for the last 10 years.
Where centipedes tend to live.
Ironically enough, yes. What is the story of The Human Centipede?
Okay. So there's a German scientist who's got a faint whiff of Nazi about him, and that's
just a bit.
That's not me being like, oh, he's German, he's a Nazi. That's actually, according to the director, there was Nazi-esque influences. And in fact, even the actor playing the scientist, his father was actually a Nazi in World War II.
Wow.
So he said that he carried the burden of having a dad who was a Nazi into the character. Look how deep we're getting here.
Deep, it's a Human Centipede.
Yeah. So we've got this Nazi doctor, and he wants to create a human centipede, which is essentially three people sewn together, ass to mouth. So if you imagine three people on all fours, with the first one, his or her buttocks, sewn to the mouth of the second person, and then they're sewn to the mouth of the third person.
Yeah, pretty much. Although, I've got to be honest, like, when we watched it, it was kind of, like we said, the ideal way to watch it, because it's at Fright Fest, it's with that hardcore horror audience, like we said. Everyone kind of thought it was hilarious, from what I remember.
They did. That's what I remember from the screening. It wasn't, oh my goodness, this is disgusting and shocking and terrible. This was, ha ha, isn't this funny? This is, it was taken in the vein that I believe it is meant to be taken, the first one especially. It's tongue in cheek to a large extent. It's a ludicrous idea. It's a ludicrous concept, yet people, you know, shouldn't take it too seriously.
Yeah, so this one, I would say, is kind of the most pure in terms of the Three Human Centipede. I can't believe I'm talking about this in terms of fucking Human Centipede. But this one, although apparently it was always meant to be a trilogy, this one is kind of the one that feels most like an actual film. It's kind of got the most sincerity going for it.
When they sew the arse to mouth, it's very sincere in what is done, in its portrayal of that.
Yeah, so Tom Six himself, in the third film, says this already, but the idea came to him because it was paedophiles? He wanted them, he thought it'd be a funny idea if they were sewn arse to mouth on the back of like a really fat truck driver,
yeah,
believe is what exactly he said. So he's taken that idea and kind of put it into sort of this, yeah, just this singular idea, I think. And yeah, it's clearly ludicrous, like you said. Just the whole idea is patently completely ridiculous, although medically accurate, allegedly.
That bit, I do love that. That made me laugh whenever that came up, because that's a running joke in the other films as well, that it's medically accurate, that it was, the first film was based on actual medical science. And I just love the idea that there's some scientist, someone has done a PhD researching whether a human centipede is possible.
I'm sure someone has somewhere out there. You can do university degrees in anything these days.
You can do.
You know, you can do degrees in David Beckham.
You can.
Or Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
That was recent, wasn't it?
That was. Harry Potter, human centipede. What a crossover. That's a film there. I, as you said, it's ludicrous, and I love the fact that when looking for investment for the film, the director, Tom Six, actually didn't tell the investors what the film was about. He said it was going to have medical experiments, but he didn't actually tell them that it was anus to mouth experiments. And they only found out when they watched the final film. So that's a nice idea there.
Yeah, it's interesting because when I, on the other show, interviewed Paul McAvoy, he did say, from what I remember in the interview, that like he was one of the people there with people to kind of pick this up for maybe festival showing, and there weren't that many people there and things like that, and they thought, oh, this is a great idea for a film. But yeah, clearly they're having a lot of difficulty sort of getting buyers, I guess.
I think it is a great festival type film, a great horror festival film, and make that very clear. It's not a great comedy festival film or a musical or a kids festival film, but a horror festival is the perfect place to watch Human Centipede, or with a group of mates, like-minded friends.
Yeah, because like you said, that Fright Fest atmosphere is absolutely perfect for a film like this, because everyone kind of knows, right, okay, these are all tropes that have been used in these kind of films over and over and over again. You've got these two very dumb women who, obviously, they get lost. Obviously, they don't have signal in the woods. Obviously, they end up at this really creepy German doctor's house. You know, he's clearly weird. Just look at the guy.
Yeah.
There's no kind of subtlety to the performance whatsoever.
No.
The guy's clearly a nutter, but they still go in. And then, yeah, all these things happen and blah, 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 blah. But it's quite fun, I guess.
It is. It is fun. And as you said, it's the purest of the three. It makes the most coherent sense. In the universe of Human Centipede, I can understand from start to finish this particular concept and this idea. And as you said, this is just first sequence, as they called it, but this is the one that is the most coherent for sure.
Yeah. Now, it's very interesting because obviously we're talking about the film in terms of, like, you know, it's quite far and you're not really meant to take it quite seriously or anything like that. What I don't think it is, and I'm interested in your thoughts on this, because obviously we're going to talk about the other two films as well. I don't think it's disturbing at all.
No, I agree. I think it's so ludicrous. Again, it's tongue-in-cheek. Or tongue in arse, so to speak. It's not
arse cheek.
Yeah, it's not meant to be serious, and I don't understand how it's certainly. I think we can both agree it's not scary, is it?
Oh God, no!
You're not going to have nightmares that someone's going to turn you into a human centipede. So it's certainly not scary. Disturbing to some people, maybe at first, but because you kind of, would you say a good at least 30-40% of the film, the human centipede's up and running, so to speak. So you get a long time to get used to the idea of it. Like, you see it in it's not just something that's spoken about and you see it in the last 5 minutes. It's actually kind of fully formed fairly early into the film. So you've got a long time to get used to the sight of what it is.
Well, it's quite weird you say that, because it's actually halfway into the film,
yes,
that the human centipede itself first is revealed to the audience. And one of the things I would say about the film is, at least compared to the other two, it's actually paced quite well.
Yes.
It doesn't hang around. So all the kind of crappy stuff, which is annoying, all happens at the beginning, where girls get lost, and then they find the house and blah, blah, blah. Then they get captured. And then we find out kind of what the doctor's planning on doing, and then one of them tries to escape, and then obviously they fail, because that happens in all these kinds of films. And then the actual centipede itself is halfway into the film. And by that point, you know, all the really disgusting stuff, it's all kind of off screen, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's the famous scene where the Japanese man at the front has to shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, the doctor's like, feed her and all that kind of stuff. But other than that, none of that kind of scatty kind of stuff,
yeah,
is shown.
It's very much more implied rather than actually seen. It,
yeah,
could have been a lot more gratuitous if it wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually quite restrained for considering what it is.
Yes, for a film called Human Centipede, it's actually quite restrained. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, what I found quite interesting is it's actually quite clean. So because it's the main character is a doctor, obviously his house is very white. There's a lot of clean surfaces and things like that.
Mm.
So again, considering what the film is about, it's not really very grotty or anything like that. So one of the things, I mean, I've read reviews and watched reviews on YouTube and stuff, and one thing I would say the film isn't, considering, again, subject matter, is it's not gratuitous.
No.
At all. So it's got that going for it, I would say. I mean, the acting's not great.
I think that's a theme throughout all of the films.
I would say the acting in this one is probably the best of the three, which is not really saying an awful lot.
No.
But I mean, the two women, unfortunately, their characters are pretty bad. And one of the things I would say about it, compared to the better examples of this kind of film, is the main character, because it's the doctor, we're meant to sympathize with this guy whose idea is to create a human centipede. So it's like, okay, there's no emotional resonance there at all with this, these three unfortunate people who are in this scenario where, yeah, arse to mouth and all that stuff. Apart from the Japanese guy, I thought the Japanese guy, he worked quite well in that sense, even though obviously he's not speaking English, but you kind of felt sort of sorry for him. At least I did.
Yeah, it was an interesting idea to have him, as you said, speak solely Japanese, and so no one in the film can understand anything that he says at all. You've just got this complete barrier in terms of language, and I think that worked pretty well.
Yeah, although characters, I don't want to be one of these people, because, you know, you get all these all over the internet, these nitpicky people who are like, this doesn't make sense, this doesn't make sense. But There's one scene in particular that really doesn't make sense, which is where, obviously, in this type of film, they escape.
Yeah.
Or at least they try to escape as the human centipede. And they're at the point where all they need to do, really, is break the guy's window to escape. And then the Japanese guy, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's because he's Japanese and it's just a thing that Japanese people do, but essentially he commits harakiri.
That's right, yeah.
Which is like, why? Like, there's three of you and this one guy who I think they've hit him in the leg or they've cut his Achilles tendon. That's
yes.
it, I remember now. And like, he can't even walk properly at this point. So they could just beat him up if they really wanted to. But no, he just decides, for whatever reason, just to commit suicide, which I thought was a bit... that doesn't really make sense, I guess.
It felt like a bit of a cop-out, like, yes, they had to just come up with a reason why they couldn't escape, basically.
Yeah, and they're like, the police are just absolutely useless.
Oh.
As well, as is...
Very inept.
Totally inept police force.
Interestingly, yeah. That's the only time in the three films that the police... are actually involved, though.
Mm.
Like, there's the other films are not any form of sort of, drama, mystery, like police, let's solve this crime. In the other films, things just happen.
Yeah, I guess so. Although the third one is in a prison, I guess.
True.
But, yeah. So they're, you know, as we'll discuss sort of later on, they're actually happy for the human centipede to sort of be going on and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so overall then I would say that this one is kind of fun. It's not as horrible as maybe you've been led to believe. It's not a great film per se, but it's, yeah, you can kind of watch it. I don't think it's boring. I think it's kind of entertaining. If you're in the right mood, it's funny.
Yes, I think if you watch it with the right group of people, I was watching it by myself on just a random sort of Tuesday, and it's not quite as funny when you're just sitting there by yourself, but with the right company, yeah, it's a fun enough film.
Yeah, I mean, it's not badly made either as such. I mean, from the way it's been written in a way where certain things don't really add up or make sense in terms of character actions and things like that, but you know in a film like this you kind of have to accept that. So out of 5, I would probably give it a 3, maybe a low 3, but it's not a piece of shit. Ironically,
I would also give it a 3 in terms of it's fun enough to see once, but you don't really want to see it again. I've seen it twice now and I don't want to see it anymore.
I've also seen it twice. Now, this is the interesting question, Tom. So, because this show is the worst date movies ever, if you had to rate this as a bad date movie out of 5, so 1 is kind of, it's a good date movie, essentially, and 5 is, this is the worst date movie ever, how would you score it?
Ooh, see, this is, I've been thinking about this. Right, it's definitely not a 5. Okay, no. Because it isn't, as we said, extremely gratuitous and all of this type of thing. But I think if you were going out with someone and you'd only sort of met them a few times and then you showed them this, kind of you picked this as like, oh, let's watch this. I think with the right person, it would be fine. It would maybe be a 2. But with the wrong person, which I think is most people, it's probably because of the subject matter of what it actually is, I would have to give it a 4.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd probably give it a 3. So it's not Cannibal Holocaust.
No.
And I get that it has a bad reputation, like Joan Jett. And... yeah, but at the same time, it's like, what actually happens in it? I guess on paper, like I said earlier, it sounds worse than it actually is. If you describe to someone who hadn't seen The Human Centipede what it's about, they would think it was absolutely horrendous. It was the worst thing ever. But really, it's just, like I said, it's kind of an okay torture porn movie. And yeah, it's got some kind of upsetting bits. to be honest, the bit that kind of disturbed me the most was when they're having their teeth taken out. That's never pleasant, is it?
No.
In any film. But yeah, I'm going to give it a 3.
Okay. I think you'd be lucky to even get it in the DVD or get it streamed. Because if someone's like, oh, what's this film about? As soon as you started, like, well, I think if you could get past that, then fine. But as you say, it sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think, like, with all these films, it depends entirely on who you're with. Because if they're a horror fan, they're probably going to think this is a great time, and they'll probably find it hilarious, in which case it's awesome. But if they're, you know, the majority of people, but even then, there are way worse films than this.
Yes.
As we're going to discuss now, because obviously the film was quite successful, and then Tom Six then made the Human Centipede Full Sequence, which is the second film. So the first film is obviously, it's in colour, it's very clean, it's very polished. Second film is most definitely not that, and it has certain aspects to it that I think are, yeah, interesting, I think is probably not the right word, but I'm going to use it anyway. So, Tom, in terms of the second film, which I think has a great premise, what happens?
Okay. So, I'm just going to, before I explain what happened, I'm just going to go straight on record and say I hated this film. I absolutely hated it. But anyway, we'll get on to that. So it's very meta, this film. In it starts with you watching the end of the first film, and you soon realize it's actually a car park attendant in a East London car park. He's a big fan of the original film. So we are in a universe where the original film was actually a film, and he loves the film so much he decides he's going to create his own human centipede. But instead of it being just three people, he wants to make it bigger and bigger into double digits. So essentially the film is about this man who is an absolutely disgusting human, both physically and mentally. He sets about, and he's a mute essentially as well, so he doesn't really speak at all. He sets about creating this ginormous human centipede in an abandoned warehouse, including taking random strangers from the car park where he works, but also trying to lure the actors from the original film to come to London so they can be in the actual human centipede too.
Yeah. Yeah, so you're right. Now, I think the premise for this film is great because it's the idea, and it's the same thing that, you know, when I did all the video nasties, and it's what Mary Whitehouse and Graham Wright and people like that said. It's like, what if you watch this really disturbing film and you became obsessed with it? Like, what could it do if it was the wrong person? So it was someone who was mentally unstable, and it's like, you know, it gave them the idea to make their own human centipede. That's a great idea. Now, unfortunately, this one I have slightly mixed feelings about. I don't hate it as much as you do. Again, I'm not particularly disturbed by it, in the same way I'm not disturbed really by other films that we're probably going to talk about on this series. So something like a Serbian film, I know disgusting things happen in it, but it just doesn't have any meaning to me, and I'll go explain why in a minute. But why did you hate it so much?
Well, okay, I do agree with that. It's an interesting premise, and again, it's very subversive in that that was part of the things that were thrown at the first film and the director of the first film. Oh, this is, you know, you could have copycats. This is very irresponsible filmmaking.
Copycat of a human.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. So I like that. Right. This is the only praise I'm going to give it. I like what the director did, where he took the kind of over the top criticism that he got from certain quarters about the film, the original one, and he turned it on its head and say, well, you're right. What if someone did actually want to recreate this in real life? So fine, I'll accept that. Everything else, though, I just didn't like. One, I thought the acting for most of it, if not all of it, was terrible.
Yeah, that's pretty... It is really bad.
Yeah.
And all the characters are really, really thin as well. Yes. For the most part, bar the main character, Martin.
Yeah.
And even then, he doesn't have that deep of a character.
No.
Yeah, they're all, like, literally not even surface level. Like, no. Deep at all.
They're just... links in the chains in the human centipede. They're just there to be in the human centipede.
They just are like, right, we need a character who's really, really mean to Martin. Oh, yeah, okay, cool. His mum's horrible. Yep, we got a guy who's horrible who maybe likes his mum. Okay, yep, we got a neighbour who's an absolute cunt. Yep, yeah, okay, all that kind of stuff.
It handles certain themes very insensitively. Like, okay, child abuse, for example. Oh, do you remember that there were scenes where he's having dreams and he's in there's a little, he has these nightmares about his
dad abuses him, yes, basically.
It's just, I don't know if you remember what the voiceover, he's imagining his dad talking to him as a child.
Yeah. And I don't know if we want to say what
yeah. That, and there's like his own psychologist, his therapist, he wants to abuse him now as well. It's just
ridiculous.
It's absolutely over. I know the first one is over the top, but this is over the top with themes that you shouldn't really be over the top about. And it's just, all the characters are just unlikable. And I know they're probably meant to be, but that means that I didn't like it. I didn't like anyone in the film, and I didn't like the film at all.
Yeah. I didn't hate the film. It's not very good, though, is basically what I'll say about it. You've kind of already said, like, the acting is really bad. It's horrendously bad, even worse than the first film. All the characters who get hit over the head with a crowbar, which happens a lot in this film, incidentally. That seems to be the only way that Martin can get these people and knock them out, is hit them over the head with a crowbar really slowly.
Oh, the worst crowbar attack I've ever seen. He very gently swings it over his shoulder. It's terrible.
Yeah, it is almost hilarious in a way. I know, like, I remember, because I used to get Empire magazine, Kim Newman, the very respected film critic, he actually quite liked this film, believe it or not, and he said it was a very, very black comedy. Now, there is one bit which involves a pregnant woman who, it's in the beginning, so she's with her husband in the car crashes, and the pregnant woman is kind of crawling away. Now, this character Martin's got asthma.
Oh, yes.
So he's kind of chasing her, and she's crawling really, really slowly, and he's walking really slowly, and he has an asthma attack in the middle, and he has to use his inhaler and then go after her again. That was kind of funny in a really dark way, but other than that, I'm not quite sure how you're meant to find this funny.
Yeah, yeah. Especially what happens to her later on. I mean, yes, that's it's just dark, and it's just, I found it unpleasant.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'd find it unpleasant, really. It wasn't, I didn't get any enjoyment. Like the first one, it's quite funny. The second one, even if I'd have watched this at Fright Fest, I don't think I would have enjoyed it.
Okay. I'm going to play somewhat of a devil's advocate then. The fact it was in black and white, did that make any difference at all to you?
I think, strangely, it being in black and white made it seem more serious and sinister. Now, from what I understand, I think it was actually filmed originally in colour, but they decided to put it in black and white because they found that, yes, the impact of some of the scenes was stronger in black and white. And I would agree, there's something about it being in black and white I found added to the disturbing nature of the film.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because when you actually do have all these people in this warehouse, this really grotty warehouse, and particularly the scenes kind of in the last sort of 15 or 20 minutes where they are kind of being, because it's 100% medically inaccurate.
Yeah.
I think there's a tagline for this one. So obviously this guy, he's not a surgeon, he's a car park attendant. So what he does is, instead of like sewing people mouth to anus, he basically gaffer tapes them and staples them. mouth yes. to anus and things like that, which, as you can imagine, goes pretty well. It's pretty horrendous. I think maybe the black and white makes it a bit less disturbing. And also, I think it means you don't have to use as much for effects as well, because, you know, the first one, there's kind of the hint of scat. In this one, in theory, it's full-blown scat. Because one of the things I found quite interesting is in the first one, the doctor, what he says is, oh, I should have done this, and I should have done this. That would have been better. Whereas in the sequel, in this one, Martin, he learns, and he actually does things that the doctor says, well, I should have done this. So, like, for example, I think he said, oh, I should have cut the vocal cords.
Yes.
So he cuts the woman at the front, who's actually one of the actresses from The Human Centipede, he cuts her tongue out. As you do. So there was that, and making them have like laxative so that they
yeah.
shit. yeah.
Here's an interesting thing that I discovered about this film. In 2016, a teacher from Tennessee was fired for showing this film in his class. Now, why you would show this film? And after the film was shown, Tom Six said that he would send him a personal signed copy of the film and that this film should be shown in every school.
Obviously, he would say
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
Now, the third film, which we're going to talk about, obviously, in a minute, that one and this one with the meta elements. So, for example, I mean, I read interviews with Tom Six. One of the things that Tom Six said is that he doesn't like, sort of, you've got these series and you've got sequels, and all the sequels are basically the same as the first film. He likes the fact that, well, you know, all the sequels are different, which yeah. they are.
Yeah.
They are different in one way or another. So I'll give him credit for that. But other than that, I do get the feeling that Tom Six is basically a bit of a shit Gaspar Noé, in that he's not as talented as Noé, nowhere near as talented as him. But also, it's like Noé will do things to provoke his audience, and it'll have more emotional resonance because of, you know, his skill in making films and the stories and the acting and things like that. With this, and well, more with the next film, it's okay, I'm really clever. I'm going to link this to the first film. I'm going to have an actress appear. It's Aisling Yenny, who is in the first film, and things like that, which gets more insufferable in the next film. But yeah, do you see what I mean? Mm. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's like he wants to make the most extreme film possible. Now, don't get me wrong, it is very extreme. It's so extreme, in fact, that it actually is cut in the UK.
Yes. What? Where do the cuts actually appear? And is there an uncut version out there?
I'm not sure, because the version I saw is on Shudder, yeah. and it is cut.
Right.
So what they cut out, from what I understand, so near the end there's the scenes of Martin kind of feeding his human centipede and each one shitting. And there's a scene where basically, and this is going to sound absolutely horrendous, so I apologize in advance, but basically he rapes the woman at the back of the human centipede. He wraps barbed wire around his dick and has sex with the centipede itself. Now, the version I saw, you don't see that because presumably it was cut, because the BBFC have a thing about sexual violence and things like that. So there was no way in a million years that was ever going to get through the BBFC. And even like the scene where like he's masturbating with sandpaper, like you don't really see that as such. I think that was meant to be a bit more graphic as well.
Yes, I didn't have the pleasure of either of those two scenes either, unfortunately, in the version I saw. So yeah. Mm. They did provide sick bags when the film premiered. I know that's a gimmick, but I think I would probably need one if I was watching that. So yeah, as I said, not a fan. But what's interesting though, this made less than $150,000 at the box office. But these films are very, I feel like they're almost more famous than the success that they've had, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so that was one of the things I was going to kind of talk about at the end, where the concept of the human centipede itself is more relevant in popular culture than the films itself.
Yeah.
And that's because the idea is quite I guess, a unique idea. It's quite a good idea in a lot of ways. So, like, the South Park episode, for example, the Human Sentai Pad.
Which they reference in the third film.
Yes, they do, yeah.
When it becomes so insufferably like, oh, look at us. Look how popular we are in culture. It's too much. No one likes that person who they is like, look at me, look at me.
Yeah. So, I mean, the film, so... Back to the second one then. So, yeah, the film is, it's pretty hard to watch. It's pretty repetitive. The acting's horrendous. It's got a very grimy British feel.
Yes.
Like, low-budget American films like this have a totally different feel to this. This, yeah, has a weird kind of, like, really, really bottom-of-the-barrel kitchen sink feel, I guess. Yeah. There are big logic holes, like how this guy... I mean, obviously... I'm looking for realism in the Human Centipede too, everybody. he knocks out a couple right at the start of the film. And then in theory, about 2 or 3 days go by in the story. And yet they're still kind of alive. And wouldn't they just die of, like, you know, like lack of water, lack of food, things like that?
Best not to think about these things too much, I think.
And yeah, this guy's able to kind of knock people out with a crowbar in this car park, and no one ever calls the police, or, you know, no one uses CCTV footage and thinks like, all these people are at this car park and all of a sudden they're all dead, or not dead, but like they've gone missing. Like, yeah, it's just, yeah.
So I'm going to give this, I know you're going to ask me, to no one's surprise, I'm giving this a 1 out of 5 for quality of film. As I say, I hated this film. I will not be watching this one again. And as a date movie, I got to give it a 5.
Wow.
It's just, I cannot imagine. Even people who like horror films, I don't think would like this, especially if you hadn't seen the first one. This would be very confusing if you'd not seen the first one.
Yeah. They'd wonder, why is this guy obsessed with centipedes?
Yeah.
He gets a centipede put up his ass.
He does, yeah.
At one point, yeah. There's a bit with a baby that's quite... it's meant to be upsetting, but I don't like children, so it didn't really upset me. But yeah, I guess if you have children, then yeah, maybe that would upset you. Okay, as far as for me, I would give it a 2 out of 5, because I don't think it's irredeemable. I think it has some very, I don't know, I wasn't really bored by it. Like, I mean, I get it's upsetting. There are bits of it that I just kind of just found ridiculous, and it didn't, because I'm so desensitized. I mean, fuck, this is why I'm doing this series in a lot of ways, is because I'm so desensitized to a lot of this stuff. Again, because Martin's the main character, there's no... real like there's not really anyone you can really root for. There's no kind of polar opposite to his character. He's the antagonist and the protagonist.
Yeah. And I think maybe they, I don't know if they tried to make him sort of sympathetic in the fact that, yes, he's had a terrible upbringing and his mother's horrible to him, but I felt no sympathy whatsoever for this character.
Yeah, and he's a unique looking guy, I'll give him that.
Yep. Is he British?
He is British, yes. Oh, okay. He's from the north.
Ah, that explains
a lot. So, yeah. You can also tell in the next film when he's trying to do this sort of American accent, and it's just like, quite clearly, he's not really from that bit of America. It's so funny. As far as a bad date movie, this is a pretty bad date movie. It doesn't help. Again, the version that I saw was cut. Now, the uncut version... might go the full 5. I'd probably give it... See, I'd give it probably a 4, because, believe it or not, there are worse films out there than this.
Gosh, well...
I don't want to break my scale. I don't want to do a Dave Meltzer. I don't want to give 5-star and then have to go to, like, 7 stars.
Okay.
For, I don't know, another film that I do later on. So I have to be fair. Realistically, yes, this is... way worse than the first film, but it's sort of, again, it's because I have no emotional engagement with the material. See, to me, there are other films that, yeah, probably on paper sound less vile than this, but it's because I just don't care about anything that's going on. It's like, well, yeah, that's disgusting, but I don't care. So I don't know, that's just me.
I think a lot of people would just think, why are you showing me this? For what purpose are you showing me this?
Because you have a particularly messed up sense of humour. Could be.
Maybe they just like centipedes.
Yeah, possibly. They could be an entomologist.
Maybe they've got asthma like Martin and you're trying to make them feel better.
Or they're a car park attendant.
Well, yes.
Or maybe they were abused by their dad.
All of these would be valid reasons to show someone the film. Yeah.
Yes, and on that cheery note, we move on to the last film of the trilogy.
Oh, gosh.
And it's fair to say, in my opinion, the worst film of the trilogy. Considering how little you liked the last film, this should be quite interesting. So this came out in 2015. Now, this is very meta. And smugly meta, I think is probably the way that you put it. So before you kind of give the synopsis and all that kind of stuff, what you have is, so you've got Dieter Lazar, who is in the first film, but he's in this film playing a completely different character called Bill Boss, which is like the laziest name of a character ever. And you've got Lawrence R. Harvey, who is Martin. He's in this as Dwight Butler. Do you get it? So Bill Boss and Dwight Butler, considering what their roles are in the film.
Oh.
Yeah, that level of cleverness
I missed that, so I don't know what level I'm on.
Now, somehow, they actually managed to get some kind of well-known actors in this. So they've got Eric Roberts to appear in this film.
Who apparently appeared in it because, quote, he was a fan of the first one, which I find very hard to believe.
Well, you never know. Eric Roberts has been in some right shit.
He probably fired his publicist after this film.
Yes, and for us, quite amusing, Tyne Lister.
Yes, Zeus. As wrestling fans would know.
Yep.
The thing is, though, if you're saying, like, oh, they managed to get some big-name talent, if the two names you're trotting out are Eric Roberts and Tyne Lister...
They were both in The Dark Knight.
Good point.
Admittedly, they were not the main characters in that film, but, like, people know who they are.
That's right.
You know, Tyne Lister, you know, say he's in No Holds Barred, that cinematic classic, and, you know, he's in Jackie Brown, and obviously Eric Roberts, obviously he's more famous for who... He's the brother of, rather. Yeah. But, like, yeah. And, yeah. Also, Tom Sex appears in this film as himself.
Yes. Yes, as you say, very smug. Meta.
So, what is the very, very, very brief story of this? Because there isn't really that much of a story, is there?
There's a deranged, somewhere in America, as this film is set, the South, we find ourselves with a deranged prison warden and his assistant, and they've just finished watching the second film. So you can see where it follows on.
Ties in.
And essentially, the prison warden's assistant believes it would be a good idea if... The punishment for the prisoners in this particular prison was that they had to become the human centipede too. The warden at first is rather reluctant because he says that the films are shit. maybe the most self-aware part of the film. And then ultimately, though, he comes round and agrees. And this leads us to having a ginormous human centipede, which is hundreds of humans long.
Yeah, basically, it's kind of like, all right, in the first film you had the three-person centipede, and that was shocking for the time, because they'd never seen anything like this before, but you had, like, what, a 12-person or something like that centipede, where it's like, okay, this is kind of fucked up. Now it's just hundreds upon hundreds of people, to the point of ridiculousness.
It's the law of diminishing returns. The first one is more shocking than the second and third one, I found. Like, as you said, when you first see the actual human centipede, three people, it feels more intimate and gross. But the second one, with 12 of them, it's like, oh, it's 12 people, this is even more ridiculous. And then when you just see this image of like 150 people in a sense, that's just, it's too many. I feel no disgust there, because it's just so silly that it takes me out of it.
Yeah.
I like my human centipedes to be small.
Indeed. So I would say, by far, this is the most boring of the three films. This is absolutely insufferable to get through for a number of reasons. So as we mentioned, the film is quite meta. So in the last film, we had a character who was obsessed with the first film and watched it quite a lot and made notes and had a notebook, etc. In this film, they watch the first two films. They show the first two films to the prisoners. We've got people talking about the film in the film itself. So we've got the main character saying that the films are shit and that the director has a poopy fetish.
Yeah.
Which maybe he does, I don't know. And you've got other characters saying that the films are great. The main female character in the film, when Tom Six appears, say, oh, can I have your autograph and things. Obviously, Tom Six appears in the film because, obviously, we talked about the concept is they want to reduce money in the prison system, and the best way to do that is by building a human centipede. That is literally the whole plot.
Yeah.
And the rest of the plot is filled with Dieter Lazar shouting at the top of his voice.
He really overacts in
just
this.
To a ridiculous extent.
Yeah, he's insufferable in this film,
absolutely.
Actually.
Annoying beyond belief.
Yeah.
Which, the thing is, I don't know if that's his fault, because really, if you're acting, your director is meant to tell you what to do. So any director, all right, I use David Lynch a lot, but the way people talk in like David Lynch films or Stanley Kubrick films, for example, that's obviously not how you would talk in real life. It's how you've been directed to act. So I don't know if that was his idea. Is just apparently he didn't even want to be in this film, which I don't really blame him if that's the case. But yeah, I don't know if that was just his idea of like, well, I don't really want to be in this film. I'm just going to do what I want. Or if Tom Six just didn't rein him in, or just Tom Six encouraged him to act like that. Because to me, this is the laziest form of like kind of just trying to shock people just through racist language, just all the different things that happen in the film, sexist language towards the secretary and things like that. It's just so lazy. It's just, there's no meaning to it whatsoever, I think.
Yeah, it's very lowbrow, very low common denominator. It's not funny at all. It's the type of comedy that sort of a 13-year-old would think is like saying like the word clitoris and then laughing. there is a scene, if you remember, where the warden eats dried clitorises.
Yeah.
Because he says it gives him energy.
Yeah.
I mean, what?
He cuts the prisoner's balls off and then deep fries them and eats them. There's a scene where the same prisoner who's had his balls cut off, is it a dream? I can't remember. Is it a dream where basically he cuts him in like the kidney and then he fucks his kidney?
Yeah, that is a dream.
Which is pretty weird.
Yeah.
The whole film to me, it strives to be, I just want to be as offensive as possible.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw all this stuff. So he's already made a film where it's like, I want to be as gross as possible. Now it's not really gross, but it's like, if I just have this character say all these offensive things and then have all this different things happen in the film, like he has sex with comatose, like, secretary.
Yeah.
Just all this stuff. If there was satire intended in there, which apparently it's meant to be, about the American prison system or something like that, I don't know. I don't buy this for a moment. But it's just, there's no way anyone is going to take that seriously.
I think it thinks that it's a satire, but it doesn't really know what it's a satire of. It's just, yes, we're doing a satire film of America. But what specifically? You know, just America and stuff.
George Bush.
Yeah. You know how Americans have guns and they shout a lot? Well, we've got that in our film. So, satire.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a good film.
No. I think the best I heard a review from Mark Kermode where he described this film as very smug and very glib.
Mm.
Which, I do agree. It is incredibly smug. I don't understand really what the purpose of this film is other than to offend people, really. And even then, it's like, okay, now what?
Yeah, and as I say, the impact of, oh, well, this time we'll have over 100 people in a centipede, it's not shocking at all when you see it, actually.
They don't even really attach people. They try and make it as like, well, we'll have like these leather appendages, yes, and stuff like that. So, you just see them, and it's probably CGI anyway, in fairness. You know, I doubt they actually did get like that many people to actually be in those positions and shoot it from above and stuff like that.
Don't have the budget.
Well, yeah, it's quite interesting. So the first film, it was Tom Six's first proper film that he made. And yeah, obviously there are limitations, but it felt quite sincere. Whereas the second film, it's like, okay, maybe he had more of a budget. Well, it seemed like he had less of a budget, if anything, much less, which much is weird. Less.
He's gone from being able to film in a lovely Austrian home, or a German home, wherever it was, to a car park probably in East London.
That's where most of these films are.
Yes, certainly his budget was cut, it would seem.
But even then, like with this one, it feels somehow even worse.
Yes.
But like, just, I mean, the acting's not worse somehow, because you've got actual good actors in it. Well, better than the ones in two anyway. But I don't know, it's just so... I don't know, it's just, it's absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so fucking horrendous. It might actually be, I don't know if it is, I will need to sit down and go through this at some point, but it might possibly be the worst film of the decade, horror-wise.
I thought you were going to say it might actually be the worst film Eric Roberts has ever been in. I think that would be a very bold statement, Greg. You'd need to... The worst film of the horror film of the decade. That's a strong...
Well, because it's just so boring. Like, the first film, it's about 85 minutes. Perfect. If you're going to make a film called The Human Centipede, you don't want it to be over an hour and a half long. Great. Second film, I mean, again, it's about 85 minutes. There was less in there plot-wise, but again, I was never really bored by it.
Yeah.
With this one, it's an hour and 45 minutes long, and literally fuck all happens.
Yeah, I was very bored. I was very bored watching
this. I'm just like, oh, just why am I watching this? I've seen this fucking film twice. I had to watch this film again for this show, and it's just like... Oh, it was just, I don't know, it's just painful to watch. I'm just like, because it's just so tedious. Well, anyway, so you probably won't be surprised that I'm going to give this a 1 out of 5. Because, it's just, for all the reasons that I have mentioned.
I would also give it a 1 out of 5. It's just a not a very good film. I would give, it's still not as bad as the second one, though, in my humble opinion. That would get, if I could, I'd give it less than 1. But this is a 1 as well.
Okay. Now, this one's a weird one on the date movie scale, because it's clearly not a good date movie, but if you wanted to do a Netflix and chill, this might actually work quite well if you're with someone who wasn't easily offended, because it's so boring that you'd probably, just get on with what you want to get on with after about 20 minutes. So it actually might work well in that regard.
Yes, I don't think it's particularly offensive because it's so just rubbish. It's just rubbish. It's too rubbish to be offensive. It's too boring to be offensive.
It's offensively boring.
It's offensively boring. I'd probably give it a 3 in terms of bad date movies. I think, if anything, your date would be more offended that you actually put this on. Like, you picked this film, because it is bad.
Yeah, it's just horrendous. There's something, actually, believe it or not, I actually kind of want to go into, like, maybe a show where can you have a date movie where it's a bad date movie because the film is so bad? Like, would your date be offended that you put on a film that was just shit? Really?
I would judge someone if they said, oh, you got to watch this, it's so good. I would judge someone for that.
Oh dear. So maybe if you're on a date with Tom, maybe not put this one on. I would probably give it, it's not a 5. I wouldn't even say it's a 4. I'd probably give it a 3 again, because it's not gory or anything. It's just, you got the, you know, I mentioned the bad language and, you know, the racist stuff and the misogynistic stuff, which is there just to offend people. But yeah, other than it's, you know, as I said, you might get away with it. Your date might get so bored after about 10 minutes that you just end up getting your end away, really.
Could be.
Which, if you're on that kind of date, that might actually work out for you. But yeah, other than that, not a recommended film at all.
What about if you showed them the quote-unquote Human Centipede full sequence from 2016, where you can now buy the three films all cut together seamlessly so that you can watch all three in one go?
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, all right, I get it. I mean, it's possible to do that because of how the beginning of the second and third film are done. You could edit it in such a way you could do that. You'd get bored, I think, after about the second or third hour.
You know how at the Prince Charles they sometimes show all three of the Hobbit or Lord of the Rings films? Do you think they'll be showing all three of the Human Centipede films in one big go?
Well, this is the thing. It's that, would people go and see that? Because I watched a video in preparation for this, and I want to know your thoughts on this, actually, where if Tom Six had only done the first one, so he hadn't done the second and third one, I think the first one might be held in slightly more esteem than it is. I think the first one is kind of almost guilty by association of the other two, because the first one is just a bit of a silly kind of torture porn film, and it's got an interesting idea, it's kind of silly, it's kind of, I don't know, fun in a way, whereas the other two kind of ruin it because they're kind of smug and they're just horrible.
I agree. He should have stopped at the first one. And then he would have, yes, it would have been known as, oh, that Human Centipede film. And everyone knows kind of the idea of it. And the name in of itself, amazing bit of marketing just for the name. So, yeah, I totally agree. He's tarnished the serious legacy of the first one with his other two films.
Yes, and his next film sounds as if he hasn't really learnt anything from the third one, because it's this film, The Anania Club. It's basically about this group of rich women who are really horrible. There's a trailer, apparently there's a bit in the trailer where they're masturbating to like footage of 9/11 and stuff like that, which, yeah, again, is like just, that just sounds like pure shock value. It's just like, look, I'm being really offensive now.
At least he's left the Human Centipede well alone.
Yeah, well, you can't really go back to that one now. The well is well and truly dried up on that one. Now, I haven't done this for any of the films so far because I wanted to leave it until the end. But if our reviews of the films haven't entirely put you off kind of owning The Human Centipede 1, 2, or 3 on DVD or Blu-ray, then if you want to own all three films, then the best one to get, from what I understand, is Shout Factory, the American company, have released all three on Blu-ray. Now, it's quite interesting because they're all director's cuts. So if you wanted to see the full uncut version of the second one, you can watch it in that version. And it's also a version of it in colour.
Oh, there we go.
So there you go. Reason enough to watch it if indeed you wanted to do that.
Was that colourised by Peter Jackson? I know he does World War One footage, but
yes, he does. I don't believe it was. No, he might have been busy, unfortunately, for Tom Six. If you're not a Blu-ray owner, not in America, if you're Region 2, then from what I understand, the best version to own, if you want the first two films anyway, are from an Austrian company called NSM Records. Apparently, they have the best versions. If you're in the UK, weirdly, Eureka, who make actual, you know, good films, they're like our version of Criterion, they've released all three films on DVD and Blu-ray. So if you wanted to watch all of them and you live in the UK, that's how to do it, Region 2. But yeah, other than that, if you've got a multi-region Blu-ray player, then Shout Factory is the way to go, I believe.
They used to also be streaming on Netflix and Amazon Prime, but they're currently removed.
Yeah, so I saw the first two on Shudder, so that's where they are. The third one I saw through other means, let's put it that way.
You watched it through Tom Six's bedroom window.
So that's been all three Human Centipede films. The first one you can probably have a bit of fun with, the other two probably not, and none of them are really very good date movies, let's put it that way.
That's true. You are best off not putting any of them on, and instead putting on No Holds Barred.
I agree with that completely, especially for that. What's that smell? Dookie!
That's guaranteed to work every or, time.
Stan Hansen, what a teeny way. That's an amazing film. No Holds Barred, a great date movie.
Yeah.
Human Centipede, not so much. So yeah, on that note, that cheerful note that we've decided to end the show on, I've been joined by Tom Cannon.
Goodbye.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for listening. Once again, if you would like to make any suggestions for possible worst date movies to cover on the show, hit me up on Twitter at Worst Date Movies. And please listen and subscribe wherever you are. And we'll catch you again next time.